So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review, man.
Check this out.
On WWE. If for a moment I could speak to my French fans, thank you very much. Je parle un petit français parce que je suis un idiot américain. Tu regardes WrestleMania parce que WrestleMania c'est bon.
Wait.
If I could take a moment to speak to my Chinese fans. That about does it for that. Thank you all around the world.
No one knows if they should laugh or if it'll be offensive.
It's not bad, actually.
It was good?
Yeah, not that bad. On both of them.
Very endearing, man.
Yeah. Oh, he speaks so many languages. But yeah, he says the same shit. He's like, I like WrestleMania because WrestleMania is good. All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doomsday will be your last day, Hogan. You want a last meal? You better hurry up and order.
We cannot coexist in this planet, Hogan.
Against the wall, that makes me very dangerous and very angry. And Hogan, it's gonna be survival of the fittest.
Welcome to Review Away.
Are you going
to
keep that noise in the podcast?
I might. Just cut my intro off.
I think you should. Quite the noise. That says it all.
John Pollock, Wei Ting. Another week. Off to a roaring start.
No, I'm usually the tired one, John.
But I'm exhausted, man.
Seems like you are just fed up.
Well, much like CM Punk on Monday night, I have an injury.
What's your injury?
My neck. Which I believe I have a pinched nerve.
Seriously?
I think so, yeah.
That was from a jiu-jitsu thing?
This was from... would have been the end of February.
This was like 2 months ago.
No, it was a month and a half. You're being a little...
And so you
almost two.
You haven't seen a doctor since then?
No.
What was the... Describe the situation where you might have injured yourself.
It was literally in the last 5 minutes of the class where they just let us roll around. And I was... rolling with someone else, and I'm gonna segue this in. Okay, it's like I'm not working with anyone but you anymore because it's just a massive headache for me. This guy, you know, didn't mean anything, but he's going for this armbar on me, and this was more my fault. It wasn't really his fault at all. But as I'm trying to bridge out, I bridge onto my head, and my neck just cracks. Like I just hear multiple cracks. And immediately tap because I'm like, fuck, man, this is my neck here. What have I done? And I was telling Wei of what I had just done. And I definitely felt like a numbness in my hand. But I thought that was also could have been from the fact that we were just working arm bars for like 20 minutes of this class. And that this could have simply been from the arm bars and not necessarily what I did to my neck. But since that time... I mean, my neck has been in a lot of pain. It comes and goes. But, I mean, there are mornings I wake up where I feel like I'm a fucking pro wrestler or something. And I am not. And I don't think I should be feeling this pain. And today, it's just bothering the hell out of me.
And so why didn't you go to the doctor immediately?
Like, I did go to the doctor,
not
as you recall.
Not immediately.
I went, like, 3 days later.
I, like, we went out for a drink afterwards, and I was like, John, tomorrow, first thing you do, even tonight, go to see the doctor. And you're like, I will. I'll see. You didn't go until, like, 2 or 3 days afterwards.
And what happened? It was, they closed 2 hours early
that
day.
The walk-in clinic happened to be closed, but is that your only option?
Yeah, I think so.
So in the time that you tried to go to the walk-in clinic till now, have you made another attempt to see a doctor?
No, I've done research online. I mean, there's not a whole lot I can do. It's
you can go to a doctor.
You ice it and you rest it.
What?
And that's what the doctor's going to tell me. It says the internet.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm not paralyzed.
Yeah, you could be.
Feels like I have whiplash. That's kind of what it feels like. Where it's just, it'll be sore if I, like, you know, extend it.
That's ridiculous. I think they're, you know, but I hope by the time that this podcast comes out, you see a doctor.
Maybe I will.
Because if not, I'm sure our audience will bombard you with advice.
Well, look what happened. The result here is that I ended up missing between this and then our traveling in March. I missed jiu-jitsu for a month. And then I came back last week. Won't even train with me now. He's like,
no.
I'm so far ahead of you. He goes to train with another guy. So I work.
That's so not the case.
I work with this other person who was just extremely cautious. And I was just like, I ended up leading the whole thing. I'm like, I'm the guy who's like off the bench here for like a month.
Well, that's better than somebody who's too aggressive.
I guess so. You've had that problem.
I have, yeah.
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 You're at a high level now.
No, I'm
not. Do you look down on me?
No, I do not.
Do you? What?
You're doing this thing where you're making fun of me again. You're being sarcastic.
I'm not being sarcastic. I feel there's a bit of a disappointment in you on me.
Not at all. Wow. No, not really. I mean, I just...
Well, I'm going this week, tonight, Wednesday.
No, you're going to the doctor. You're going to the doctor first. And then if the doctor says cool, then you should. But fuck, you're not just going to... another class. I feel irresponsible as a friend to let you go.
You let me go last week.
I thought you were okay. You didn't mention this. I thought everything was fine. You didn't mention that you're still waking up with pains.
I think I should be icing it more. I think that maybe
you're not a doctor, dude. Like you can't come up with the solution yourself.
I think I could be a doctor if I really put my mind to it.
Okay. I'm just going to think really hard, and I'll come up with the solution. I can cure anything.
Let's talk about something else that I want to get your thoughts on, Wei. Last Thursday, we talked about Impact. Decent show. Good show. I liked it.
Yeah.
A lot of anticipation for it. Lowest rating of the year for Impact. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. I don't know. I was surprised because, I mean... you know, you can definitely look at WrestleMania as one of the culprits.
Are you burned out on wrestling? Could you see that as
a
factor?
To be honest with you, no, I'm not, actually. In fact, if anything, I feel like this past weekend has kind of, like, you know, seeing the ROH show, seeing some of the Dragon Gate, seeing the WrestleMania and then Raw, of course, it kind of, like, reinvigorated my interest in wrestling.
Yeah.
And even, like, watching this Uncensored pay-per-view, as shitty as it was, at least, the beginning of the pay-per-view was pretty decent. And I found myself, like, able to appreciate even just, like, tiny nuances a little bit more. But in TNA's case, and, like, in the typical fans' case, I could certainly see people forgetting that Thursday was to be a big show because, you know, the hype going into that week was all WrestleMania.
Sure.
And so who's going to remember this, you know, TNA free pay-per-view, or sorry, free TV show that, you know, even though there's a big match, to be honest, I completely forgot that big match or that Bully Ray-Jeff Hardy match was happening until that Thursday. So I could see that.
Yeah, it was just a very surprising rating. I really had no answer for it other than, you know, unless people just simply forgot. Or I don't think you can really say people weren't interested. I think it was, you know, built up pretty well.
The thing is, even if people forgot, what would make them not watch? Because even on weeks that aren't very special, they never dip that low. So,
yeah, like literally this week's taped Impact from Corpus Christi, I'm sure is going to do a better number than the live version, which was promoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so who knows? I mean, I don't think they have to worry too much about things, though, unless this becomes like an ongoing trend. So we'll see what the rating is tomorrow.
Anything else going on? I'm really trying to prolong talking about Uncensored. This was what a failure of a pick on my part.
It's been a while since we've done a WCW.
It's going to be a while before we do another one, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
This was just garbage.
I don't know. Let's just move on to it. Let's get it over with. Like a Band-Aid.
Like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Awesome. That should be the slogan of this podcast. Let's get it over with. Uncensored 96, March the 24th of 96. This was 1 week before Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels' Iron Man match at WrestleMania. Interesting that the final two matches each went an hour, I believe. The Chicago Street Fight and then the Doomsday Cage match, which if ever there was a more appropriate title for a main event, this was it. Doomsday.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They were, both of those matches were just way too long. They were both 30 minutes each, totaling an hour.
I really hated the show by the end of it. I honestly watched the final two matches this morning, back to back. I don't even, like, I'm so glad I have notes because I can't even recall the undercard. It was so long ago.
Yep. Well, the undercard wasn't all that bad, I thought.
Well, I'm literally going to refresh my memory because okay. I can't remember anything from the undercard.
Yeah, well, this was Uncensored. Uncensored, 1996, the second Uncensored.
Yeah, right? The first one, believe me, a cult classic. I don't know why we didn't review that one, to be honest. Have we reviewed Uncensored 95?
I don't think
we have. It had a lot of hilarious. I think there was a mixed martial arts match. There was a match in the back of a truck on the freeway.
I thought we did that.
Maybe we did.
That was the Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah. Did we review that?
I think so.
Oh.
Well, Brickhouse Brown. Was it Brickhouse Brown?
No, it was the Blacktop Bully.
Blacktop Bully. Yeah, we did do
Demolition
that.
Smash. Oh, okay. Well, I forget it.
Okay.
We're at the point now where we forget reviews.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of them when you think about it. We've done like 200 reviews now.
We haven't taken a break once in 3 years?
Yeah.
3.5 years? So, yeah. Anyway, the concept of the pay-per-view is all the matches are unsanctioned.
Oh.
Anything goes.
What a draw.
Means no rules.
Yep.
I'm guaranteeing you no drug testing at all either, so you can be on anything you want.
It was so badass way that the closing credits didn't include last names.
Whoa!
Did you stick around for the end credits?
I did not. No,
it's literally like cameraman Ron, and it's just all this whole list of just first names.
Maybe they're just embarrassed that they were a part of the show and didn't want their full names to be on.
It wouldn't have surprised me. I wouldn't have wanted.
They might not even be real names.
This was, to put this into context, Monday Nitro had just debuted the prior fall, so we were into the Monday Night Wars, though it was more of a Monday Night paper, rock, scissors contest at this point in time. It really wasn't that.
Monday Night Curling match.
Yeah. I mean, Nitro, they had brought over Lex Luger. Medusa had debuted, who we were going to get to see on this pay-per-view. So Nitro had fired some shots. They were starting to read some results of the taped Raws. But Raw was really, this was a low point, I think, for both companies in early 96, even with both Monday night shows and a couple of months before the NWO angle would kick off and Hall and Nash would come over. It started off with like this crazy promo that I think was brought to us by Cocaine about this alliance to destroy Hulkamania with Jimmy Hart cackling, and it was like the Dungeon of Doom and just craziness.
Was the Dungeon of Doom still around? Is that what Kevin Sullivan was?
Yeah. About? Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, this was the alliance to eliminate Hulkamania, and basically all the heels teamed together and they're about to take over. Like, what does that even mean, to eliminate Hulkamania? How does...
Death.
I mean, is that what it means? Like, what is Hulkamania?
Well, I guess they meant if they could pin Hulk Hogan, then Hulkamania disappears.
He's been pinned before, and Hulkamania is still around.
Yeah, but it's
How do you eliminate a movement?
You,
through winning a match.
Maybe they were planning to kill him, literally.
That would just make it stronger, I think.
It's uncensored. This is their out. They have carte blanche.
My point is... Like, this is 1996, and they're still focusing on really cartoony shit like this. We're going to team together to eliminate Hulkamania. Like, this is 1996.
Well, it was guys from his past as well, like Z-Gangsta.
Which was Zeus.
Yeah, no E-R at the end of gangster. It was an A.
The Gangsta,
I think. Is that
they called him Z Gangsta?
Z Gangster.
Yeah, I like Z Gangsta though.
It's the shittiest possible name we can come up with.
Well, we can't use Zeus, so what can we put? You know.
Well, we also have the Ultimate Solution, which was originally they introduced him as the Final Solution before they realized that was the name of this like operation by the Nazis back in World War II, and was like an atrocious event in worldwide history, and they were like, ooh, this is offensive.
Oh, this was,
so we'll change it to the Ultimate Solution.
No, that would have been very appropriate, because this match was an atrocious event in worldwide history.
Oh, God, you can't.
No, it's the same. It's like a Holocaust, this match.
Don't say that way. That's really offensive.
Anyway, the idea to put Zeus here in this match, like, to rekindle this feud, I mean, why? Because was it that much of a success back then?
Well, at this the time, 1996. They got a buy rate out of Zeus in 1989. Okay. 7 years later, let's rekindle that spark.
Like, whose idea was this to rehash, to bring in Tony Lister?
Well, that was kind of the game plan, was we brought in Hulk Hogan, and now let's find all the heels that he vanquished back in the past, that he has already beaten. Let's give him a new coat of paint as the Gangster and how he can go in 96.
He's so fresh. Yeah. He changed the name. And
yeah. There's a whole generation that has never seen a Zeus bear hug before.
Oh, God.
So our announcers for the evening are Tony Schiavone, Dusty Rhodes, and Bobby Heenan, who explained that he's wearing a leather jacket in case he needs to wash anything off that lands on him during the ruckus throughout the night.
Okay.
And Dusty Rhodes says that Hogan needs to survive this danger in order to carry on in the 90s. I think he's going to make it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he'll be okay. We kicked off with Conan defending the United States title against Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie here is identified as a young man who typifies the hard work of Americans.
Yeah.
It's the Del Rio gimmick right now.
Yeah. Except this guy had much more babyface charisma.
Oh, yeah.
I found.
It was odd, though, to see Eddie, because, I mean, I think we all identify him as, you know, kind of that cocky heel, if not the cocky heel, then kind of the cocky babyface. Here, he just, like, played a pretty completely generic, vanilla, high flyer. A young man.
Yeah, this was at a time when Eddie was a, you know, real great in-ring talent, but his personality was a big... It really held him back. He didn't really have much. He was never given mic time, never had a chance to really get his personality in check. And it was not until the WWF, really, when he was able, I think it was really that China program where we got to see him do vignettes. And then he really turned into a really multifaceted performer. Whereas I think WCW, you just mainly think of his in-ring and, you know, the odd promo. At this point, this was, you know, two baby faces here. And
Conan comes out dressed in his full Conan gear.
Yes, after he had come over from AAA. He had, of course, as well worked in ECW at the time.
Yeah, so he comes in wearing his Conan mask and comes in, takes it off, and he reveals he's wearing these tights with, like, long flowing tassels. Like almost like a hula skirt, this looked like.
Well, this was the look at the time.
Yeah, was it? Hula skirts back in 96?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the look, huh?
You didn't have any?
No, I wasn't that cool.
No. Well, they announced that the winner of this match will be the number one contender because they're the United States champion. And then in the same breath says that they will also get to face Mr. JL tomorrow night on Monday Nitro. What a reward for the number one contender in WCW to take on Jerry Lynn the next day under a mask.
Was that honestly the case? Like the U.S. title...
They really valued the United States title, even up until this point in 96. And this was kind of when the title really started to fade a little bit. But the U.S. title was already positioned as, you know, this is the guy that is, you know, the successor to the champion. He is the number two guy in the company.
But would they actually give the U.S. title holder title shots after winning the title?
No, not always. I mean, the occasional time you'd do it. But it was a title that even at this point in 96, I think still meant something.
Right.
I mean, until, of course, Antonio Cesaro got the title.
Oh, yes. Yeah, now it's taken
just,
it to great.
New heights.
Yeah.
So they matched. They did
He gets. He fights the champion occasionally.
Yeah. Well, he fights everybody. It's who he beats that is questionable. They did the fish out of water spot, and the crowd was clapping at that as they got up, started shoving each other. Guerrero just really crisp here with a kip up into an arm drag that sent Conan to the floor. And then Guerrero took a monkey flip, landing on his feet, hit a head scissors, and then a plancha to the floor. Crowd was responding really well, too. And Shivani says, after this plancha to the floor, that we're seeing moves we've never seen before.
Was he? I mean, that might have been the truth. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really watching WCW at the time, but you have to figure that these matches were still a bit of a novelty at the time.
Yeah, well, I guess if you haven't watched non-WCW, maybe this is...
Yeah. Well, I mean, for...
Launches, state-of-the-art in 96.
Not just that, but I mean, a lot of the Lucha stuff, you know, here, I'm sure was kind of new to the WCW audience.
This might be the oldest match I've ever seen someone go for the rolling German spot that Conan went for here.
Right. Right.
I had never seen anyone do it before, you know, really Benoit Angle popularized it, but Conan here did it in 96.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, I think Conan is, like, a pretty underrated technical wrestler, just, especially at this time. You know, like, we've always heard the story about, you know, him teaching Brett the sharpshooter and everything, and clearly, like, even in a match like this, displaying a lot of different cool maneuvers. Like, you know that, at one point he puts on, like, a high-angle Boston Crab, and he does the same transition to the STF that Samoa Joe always does.
Yeah.
And yeah, Conan was doing it here in 1996.
We got a Hurricane Rana by Guerrero and then this awkward pin attempt. And then Conan hit a sit-out razor's edge for a two count. Then Guerrero was on the floor and Conan hit a what I would call a suicide shove, where he went through the ropes and just gently, gingerly hit him with his palms. And then
suicide shove.
The suicide shove. Eddie hit a superplex to Conan and then rolled on top for a two count. And then out of nowhere, Guerrero goes for a leapfrog, to which Conan, like, hits him low in the air and pins him at 18:31. And they play up if it was an accidental headbutt to the groin or not. And Guerrero is upset after the match and shoves Conan. So the tease of dissension here between these two baby faces.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, they're definitely already leaning towards the Conan heel turn here. With the crowd definitely seemed divided, but way more in favor towards Eddie than Conan. And, you know, otherwise, I quite enjoyed this. I thought by today's standards, this was really good. But, you know, by Conan and Eddie standards, I think this was probably just average. But the crowd never really seemed to get into it, and maybe that was because both men weren't that over at the time.
Yeah, we should mention we are in Tupelo, Mississippi for this, the site of the very first Uncensored, so this was like an annual event. Pack the car up, we're going for Uncensored at the Tupelo Coliseum.
No, why would they pick Tupelo for an Uncensored? Maybe there's no commission in Tupelo.
Well... Back in Memphis Wrestling, there was a famous match, the Tupelo Concession Stand Brawl. And maybe that was their idea. We're going to do a lot of brawling matches. We're going to take it to Tupelo. That's my only guess.
Wow, because everybody remembers that.
Well,
Tupelo, the most uncensored wild place in America.
Well, come on, it's Tupelo.
Yeah.
No need for censorship in Mississippi. Hmm. Backstage, Gene Okerlund is with Colonel Rob Parker and Dick Slater. Dirty Dick. And Parker is taking on Medusa later on in the show. And it says he's fighting on behalf of the male sex. And he's doing it for his Uncle Tom Parker and Elvis.
What does that mean?
He's doing it for Elvis as well.
Elvis beat women?
No, but he's saying that, you know, he was related to Tom Parker, who was Elvis Presley's manager. So he's got a connection.
Oh, okay.
Even though Elvis was dead for years by the time this event happened. But Slater then just adds, "It's going to be great. It's going to be great." And Parker ends it with, "I'm the rooster, and I'm going to prove it."
All right.
A lot of roosters over the past month that we've reviewed.
Yeah, the Red Rooster.
Yeah, and this.
Okay.
Two.
I thought this was a good promo. He's very much like, you know, that type of Zeb Coulter character.
White racist. Underlying racist.
Not necessarily racist.
But you feel...
Sexist in this case.
Well, sexist, yeah. That easily treads into racism as well.
Okay, sure. It's all the same thing.
Probably. Then we got Lord Steven Regal with Chives in his corner.
Chives?
Yeah. It was spelt like Jeeves, but they pronounced it Chives on the announce
really?
Team.
Okay.
I didn't even bother looking up who this was at the time.
Chives.
Yep. taking on the Belfast Bruiser, who was
Finley with a serious mullet.
Serious mullet and like a weird leather jacket with spikes coming out half of it.
This mullet, like, his hair on top is shaved, and like his natural hair color, I guess, is like a light brown. But then like the mullet in the back is like jet black. So it's like two shades. What here? You got like a light brown and then a jet black at the, flowing to the back.
You would have killed for this look in 96.
You know what? Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, if he rocked this right now, I'm sure he'd get another shot at the WWE.
Maybe.
Another run.
Maybe.
And a mustache.
It starts off with just a brawl between both, and I'm just going to refer to him as Finley because that's all I can identify this man as. Attacking the left arm of Regal. And they show the Spanish announce team of Miguel Alonso, Pedro Morales, and Conan has joined them, and they all wave to the camera.
How nice.
Yes. Shivani makes fun of yet another word that Rhodes can't pronounce when saying gluteus maximus. Very hard-hitting match, going back and forth, a lot of offense from both men. Finley just rams Regal back first into the apron on the floor. Then they fight to the entranceway and into the fenced area where the Doomsday Cage is. And then, at the end of the match, Bobby Eaton and Dave Taylor, who are part of the Blue Bloods with Regal, run down and attack Finley, and a DQ is called at 17 minutes and 33 seconds on an event called Uncensored, where there are no rules.
Yeah.
This finish was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it was. You know, I gotta say, I really enjoyed the range of styles in WCW at this time. You know, you started off with the good lucha slash, you know, Japanese influence style match between Conan and Eddie. And then here you get like a very purely European hard hitting style between these two guys who are two of the best ever to do it. And, unfortunately though, I thought this went too long. I felt like, man, 20 minutes for these two, it'd probably be great if you were there just to see these two guys. But, I mean, for, like, an undercard at WCW in the mid-90s, I certainly felt the crowd's boredom. And, you know,
I've also seen much better matches between these two. I had high hopes watching this because I'd never seen this match before.
Sure.
But, I mean, they had a number of matches in the WWE and even prior to this that, you know, stood out more than this.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, John, but at one point Regal gets busted open and the rest of the match is shot from the wide angle.
Censored.
On the hard camera. Yeah, so it was censored. This show was censored on a pay-per-view called Uncensored.
Stupid. But then again, last year, the 95 Uncensored featured a guy getting busted open, and he was fired for blading on Uncensored.
I know.
Yeah, so there were rules.
That's weird. How ironic.
Yeah.
Is that ironic?
No, not ironic.
Okay.
Not even a coincidence. Okerlund's in the back with the Giant and Jimmy Hart, and he's got a match with Loch Ness later tonight. The Loch Ness Monster is here, and the Giant says he is going to smoke him like bacon on the griddle. I don't even know what that means.
Well, bacon creates smoke.
And does that mean Loch Ness is like a lot of like fat?
Yeah, he's going to
lard.
He's going to cook him. Into crispy, delicious strips.
Yeah, maybe he should have said, I'm going to smoke you like Kentucky Fried Chicken skin.
What?
You ever hear that story?
No.
It's a story of back in like the late 90s in the WWF, Big Show would come in with like a box of KFC chicken, and he would just eat the skin off of the chicken.
What, and leave the chicken?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's like committing suicide.
Well, he lived. He did live.
Okay. I mean, the Big Show cuts his promo, and like he says that line almost in the rap. Like he rhymes something like, let me tell you a riddle. I'm going to smoke you like bacon on a griddle.
No,
like,
Jesus, I didn't even get that.
Anyway, he's such a cartoon here, you know? Like we got a big guy. Let's call him the Giant.
Not forget, at this time too, like the Big Show had been in the business like 6 months. And this was like, he was already getting pushed at this point. So it's like, you go back and you watch Big Show from like 95 through even like 2000. I mean, he's literally learning on the fly here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
how old was he at this time?
Oh, God. He was like, I would say under 25 at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was really young. He wasn't too experienced at all. Mm-hmm. And they also noted the winner of Giant and Loch Ness would get a title shot against Ric Flair the next night on Nitro.
Wow, that Loch Ness-Ric Flair match. God. I think we all wanted one.
And people complain about WrestleMania last weekend being too predictable.
So anyway, like the Giants, all of the Giants promos really at this time were just him screaming in his like big kind of muffled voice into the mic as loudly as he can. And, you know, compared with the way he delivers his promos today as a heel, where he's just kind of got that slow delivery with, you know, just the slow menacing walk, I think he's way more effective today than he was back then. Back then, he just seems like such a caricature and a cartoon of what a monster should be.
Well, we're literally about to watch a match between the Giant and Loch Ness. There's a part of me that would have loved to have seen Ric Flair and Loch Ness go like 15 minutes on TV. That would have been something. So after that, we got a preview of the man versus woman match and how Medusa tossed the WWF women's title into the trash can. That's basically her gimmick. Mm-hmm. She came to the company and threw a title in the garbage can. So Colonel Rob Parker and Medusa, Dusty was just outraged at the start of this match when Colonel Robert Parker locked up with Medusa.
What does that mean?
He locked up with her.
I thought he was like just surprised that he was able to lock up or what.
I don't know, but he seemed just flabbergasted by this.
He locked up.
And this was the most excited Dusty was the entire show, was seeing a man and woman fight.
Locking up, yeah.
There was an airplane spin to Medusa, but she turned it into a roll-up for a two-count. She hit a scoop slam to Parker, which got a big pop. And then Rhodes is just losing his mind here at this scoop slam. And it was the biggest reaction on the show so far. Parker goes to leave, but Medusa attacks with kicks on the floor, then delivers a German suplex to Parker in the ring. And she bridges, and Parker gets the pin out of nowhere here after
Slater.
Slater comes and knocks the leg out from Medusa. But both their shoulders were down here. And anyway, the referee counted three, and the win went to Parker at 3 minutes and 49 seconds. I thought another bad finish.
Well, Parker was able to just pin her simply because of the weight of him. You know? Medusa was like 100 pounds lighter.
Well, the positioning looked very awkward here. It looked like his shoulders were...
Not going to say it was a great match. It wasn't. I didn't think it was the worst woman versus man match ever, but I mean, fuck. What do you expect out of this?
Well, this would have been a... Hey, crowd was at least semi into it, I thought.
Semi. But I think you'd figure, a woman versus man match to get a bit more heat than something like this.
Yeah, well, you could take what you could get on this card, I think. Lee Marshall is in the back, the Tony the Tiger voice himself.
What?
This guy did the voice for Tony the Tiger.
No way.
Yeah, for a ton of the commercials.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Lee Marshall.
That's great.
Did you notice his what backdrop he got here?
No.
A chalkboard with the Doomsday cage match drawn on the chalkboard.
Oh, I didn't even know what that was.
That's what he was standing in front of all night long.
That's what he was spending his time doing.
Yep. And the Road Warriors walk in. They want to kick everyone's butt. Hawk talks about the medulla oblongata.
The medulla oblongata, otherwise known as the brainstem, controls all the body functions, everything. Booker T and Sting, I and Animal are going to remove your brainstems. You will have to depend on depends for the rest of your life. Because, you see, we're the team that says what we're going to do and then gets the job done. There's no sticking way you two could legally beat us two anytime, any place, especially in our match. A Chicago street fight, the one we're best at. All out blitz. Anything goes. Nobody cares. Especially us.
And says he's going to remove the brain stems of Booker T and Sting in the Chicago street fight.
And he also says you guys are gonna have to depend on depends for the rest of your life.
What were they planning to do to these two? Like, perform like a lobotomy and fucking, I don't know, like a, give them like a colonoscopy as well? Like, I don't know. Like, what does a Chicago street fight give visions of to the Road Warriors?
Wasn't ER in Chicago?
I think so.
Maybe they're all trained medical surgeons. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I mean, not the wildest Road Warriors promo. And we've certainly seen a lot more crazier, especially this week, from Hawk.
That video was
fucking
crazy.
You want to talk about that video?
Well, I posted it in one of my updates.
Oh, my God. And for those of you who haven't seen it, go on YouTube, type in NWA Behind the Bash 88. And this is just some video that has just recently surfaced of somebody.
A bunch of wrestlers who said, oh, a camcorder. Well, no one's going to see this.
Yeah, some wrestler, I think, at the time, back in, I guess, the NWA in 1988, just decided to film. Turn the camera on as these wrestlers are backstage. The first thing you see is Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Out of his mind.
Just like, I've never seen Dr. Death Steve Williams in this state on camera at any point in his career. This was like the most excited I've ever seen a man. And what is he excited about? He's excited.
He's getting a few days off work.
He's excited that today is Saturday and that tomorrow he doesn't have to... Everybody watch it for themselves. There's actually two parts to it.
There's a second part?
Yeah, there's a part two.
Oh, God.
And the part two is, like, all mainly Jim Cornette. It features, Cornette. It features Hawk sniffing, doing a lot of sniffing.
Let's not even beat around the ball. Oh, there's another 10 minutes to this.
Yeah.
Shit. How did this get found now? This actually was posted 2 months ago, it says.
Who knows?
Someone just found this. Like, this is the glory of YouTube. Like, listen... I don't think anyone needs to think too hard about, you know what, I wonder if these guys were doing coke at the time. Well, this just answers that question for you, as Hawk literally does a bump right on camera.
Yeah, and then you see, like, Sting and Luger in the background, and, you know, they don't do anything too incriminating. Oh, you also see Arn Anderson's asshole. Anyway. Yeah.
And Paul Ellering just sitting reading a magazine.
Yeah. It's quite the video.
I can't wait to watch part two now after this one. Part two not getting the amount of views.
But, you know, like, at this point, what is it? Like, we're, like, 25 years removed. Who really cares, right? It's not like anybody
knows. Oh, come on. The statute of limitations has long since passed on this. Yeah, no one should really care. Come on. It's kind of funny. You know.
It's not funny, but it's just like, it is funny.
These guys on camera, it is funny.
No, I mean, it's funny, it is hilarious. I mean, but I'm just saying, rather than be concerned about, you know, whether or not this stuff is still happening, I think, I would hope that it's not like this anymore.
Oh.
Or at least people are...
Come on, don't be too naive.
Hopefully
here,
more private.
You don't think there's any drug use going on in pro wrestling?
I don't think to this extent where they're just backstage and, you know, out in the open like that. I would hope not.
I had always heard that there used to be, you know, even in this generation, like Tuesday nights after SmackDown tapings, it used to be a party night.
Tuesday nights after SmackDown.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Who knows? I have not seen a WWE wrestler do cocaine.
You haven't? Okay.
I have not.
No, me neither. If you have, upload it.
I've never seen Wade do cocaine either.
Well, I have not done cocaine.
All right. Neither have I.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Those wild review away parties.
Yeah.
Where we read comics and go over jiu-jitsu techniques, like the De La Riva lock.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Really annoying.
The De La Riva guard.
The De La Riva guard. I don't find it's that effective, to be honest.
You've done a fucking one-hour class on
it. Yeah, I know.
What's you've tried in the streets?
I would never. That's the thing. I don't think I'd ever be able to lock that on. If I was on my back and a guy was coming at me,
I think
he's not standing there long enough. He's fucking kicking my face in.
Listen, somebody teaches you a rear naked choke. You're not going to be able to say after doing it for 30 minutes, oh, I don't think this is that effective. I mean, you gotta learn how to do it properly over the course of a period of time.
I guess so. Yep. I think testing is going to be rough for me this month.
Okay, well, you should get checked out first.
Yeah, we'll be fine. All right. The attitude. So the brain stems of Booker T and Sting were going to be up for grabs in the Chicago street fight, but that's for later on. DDP is up next, and they said this match is for him to get Kimberly back, the money he blew, and his self-respect all on the line in this match.
Uh-huh.
He had blown all his money. He lost his woman. So somehow a woman was going to go to the winner here against her will.
Yes. This was the I Quit Wrestling match featuring the Booty Man versus DDP.
Sorry, what kind of match?
The I Quit Wrestling match.
Oh, I thought it was an I Quit match.
No.
Oh, so I really hated this match for no reason then.
Yeah, this was I Quit Wrestling.
Okay, I hated it for other reasons then.
No, this was the I Quit Wrestling match.
Probably the length of time it went.
Between
this was a show way that probably should have had like 13 matches and it had like 6.
Mm-hmm.
God, some of these people went long for no reason.
Yeah.
DDP and the Booty Man.
The Booty Man, Brutus.
Our favorite.
We just saw both of these guys at WrestleCon.
Yeah. He wrestled 14 more minutes than he wanted us to talk to him.
Oh, wow.
At WrestleCon.
The Booty Man, of course.
I can't take this guy seriously as a babyface. To me, he's just like the ultimate heel.
What are you fucking... Like, look... This guy's gimmick is that he's a man who is in love with his own ass cheeks. Like, so much so that he decided to cut the cheeks of his pants out.
What a way around the Brutus the Barber Beefcake gimmick is like, okay, we can't call you Brutus Beefcake. What else could we call you?
What else starts with a B?
Fuck, he went through all these stupid gimmicks at the time. He was once, he was the man with no name. He was the Zodiac. Later, he would be the Disciple.
Brother Brutai.
Brutai.
He had been in WCW for 2 years by this point, and this was already his 5th gimmick.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The Booty Man.
The Booty Man.
And, Jesus, like... but honestly, the originator of the Mr. Ass gimmick, if you think about it, it's the same thing.
All of Billy Gunn's success lies at the hands of
He would have been
Ed
great.
Leslie.
Oh, Brutus Beefcake would have been great in DX.
It better be quick. DDP here didn't even look like the same person. Like, comes out with this blonde, curly hair and a dark beard with a cigar.
Yeah, like a fro.
Not exactly a guy I would have tabbed as a future yoga instructor.
That's true.
In 96.
This was amusing to me just to see David Penzer announce this ridiculous stipulation in his professional announcer's voice. If Diamond Dallas loses, he will quit wrestling. If he wins, he will regain his money. And the booty girl.
The booty babe.
The booty babe.
Come on, let's not refer to her as a gender.
This was originally supposed to be Mark Mero facing DDP in this feud.
Yeah, but he bolted for the WWF.
And why? Why did he?
Money!
And wasn't there a rumor as well that he didn't want to kiss Kimberly because DDP was his friend in real life?
I believe there was something to that story, but I think ultimately it was the fact that WWF gave him a real good downside guarantee to the point that when Mark Mero came to the WWF, he debuted the following week at WrestleMania, just doing like a backstage interview. There was a lot of heat on the guy because he got all this money.
Hmm.
One of those classic weird cases where it's like, why are you upset at the guy for getting paid this? Like, what? He's gonna I can't get paid this much.
No, but it happens everywhere, you know?
Wow.
People just are resentful that they're doing the same or more amount of work and not getting paid the same.
Yeah. Well, the I Quit Wrestling match makes a lot more sense when I have Wei here to explain this shit to me. Heenan asks if we know what is going through the Booty Man's veins. I was like, what did he just say? And then he's like, Hulkamania is running through his veins. I was like, oh,
God.
A lot of stalling.
Which could be a code word.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he was a... What was being injected into the booty?
Yeah.
Stalling and playing to the crowd by DDP at the start, and the Booty Man was getting the best of Page, who retreated to the floor, tries to walk out. Think of that. Psychologically. Why would DDP try to leave the ring and get counted out? In the I Quit Wrestling match.
I have no idea. Maybe
fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Page then gets sent over the barricade as the Booty Babe, Kimberly, comes down wearing the Booty Man's colors. I hate saying this name. Page just beats down Booty Man. Match just drags on forever. And they brought up the fact that he stepped in for Johnny B. Badd. Rear chin lock applied by the Booty Man. I wrote in capital letters, this match is terrible. They cut to ringside and Kimberly says into the camera, I want him to be my boyfriend. And Kimberly's on the apron. DDP then
holds her and kisses her, to which she slaps him in the face and turns into a flying knee where he is pinned at 16 minutes and 4 seconds. Yeah. This might be the longest match of Ed Leslie's career.
It wasn't just the flying knee. It was the high knee.
Ooh.
Get it?
Oh, man. Was that what it was called?
The high knee.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. The high knee.
Oh, man. I think it's genius.
I didn't get it at all. All right. Very, very clever. This was ungodly long. I was mad at the time because I thought this was an I Quit match. So I was really confused. It was an I Quit wrestling match.
So you're watching this whole match like, where's the microphone? Where are they going to say I Quit?
I Quit Wrestling, I believe, lasted for 2 months for Diamond Dallas Page, and he was back in June.
This was a shit match.
Oh, and then the Booty Man made out with Kimberly in front of her husband in the ring.
Right.
Lovely.
The angle was totally weird. I don't know.
I heard...
just bad.
Do you want to hear another Ed Leslie story I heard over the past week? A wrestling promoter contacted me that Ed Leslie was at their show recently, and he shows up, and... didn't want to put the local guy over and said to the guy, he's like, I can't be losing to you if this is airing on the internet. I can't be losing to a nobody. He's like, no offense, but you're a nobody.
Wow.
And then when he wouldn't...
Because Ed Leslie's record is still very strong.
Well, he can't hurt the legend of Ed Leslie.
Yeah, we check his records all the time. Yeah.
Anyway, I enjoy the fact that there's still guys like Ed Leslie out there. I think it'll be sad when, you know, the carnies really aren't part of the business anymore.
I think you'll always find that.
I hope there's always a couple that just cling on.
I'm sure.
You know, the Virgils, the Ed Leslies, the cranky old wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always going to be a soft spot in my heart for guys like that in this business.
Yep.
I will never, ever pass up an opportunity to go interview Ed Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get so much out of it.
Yes, yes. He's definitely a favorite.
Lex Luger and Jimmy Hart are in the back with Okerlund. He's going to be a part of the Doomsday match. Says it will be the last... Jimmy Hart says that this will be the last night that Lex Luger ever walks down the ring and has a match and gives him his jacket and tells Lex that he loves him. And Luger calls tonight's main event the most dangerous match ever. And that was just for the viewers. But says he is not bailing on Sting in the Chicago street fight. There was this weird storyline that, like, Luger was a heel, but Sting trusted him. And then Luger backed out of their Chicago street fight after he issued the challenge. And it was like everyone thought Sting was this idiot for trusting Luger. Very confusing.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Then we got Giant versus Giant. Winner gets a WCW title shot. The Giant against Loch Ness, who is 49-year-old Martin Roan, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, R-U-A-N-E, who would die 2 years after this. And he was the latest wrestler to get Dean Malenko's theme music as he came down to the ring.
Wow.
God, this music was recycled more than anything in this company.
What an honor.
Yeah. I often confuse the man of a thousand holds with the man of one, Loch Ness. There were chops by the Giant, an elbow drop by Loch Ness, where he missed his second elbow drop. That was his arsenal. A big boot drops Loch Ness. Giant hits a leg drop. Crowd was dead as the Giant pinned him at 2 minutes and 34 seconds to set up the title match. Even at 2:34, I would say this kind of dragged.
This was short. It wasn't that offensive. It really was just a TV match to build on onto the Hogan feud. But at one point, John, Giant, who, you know, Paul White at this point was just much slimmer, like, you know, at least half the size of who he is today. And he dives into the corner, almost delivering like a stinger splash. And somehow he knocks himself out of the ring all the way to the outside. It looked unintentional and might have been the biggest bump of his career. But he got right back up, you know?
That's what the Giant calls the fee-fi-foe fumble.
Yes. Yes.
So there you go. The Giant and Ric Flair set up for the next night on Nitro. Lee Marshall with his chalkboard is in the back talking about how wrestling and politics make for strange bedfellows. And he brings in Sting and Booker T, who are teaming up. And Booker cuts this promo about being a straight-up OG. And says it's on like neck bone tonight.
What does that mean?
It's on like neck bone.
Yeah, explain
Sting
that.
Sting then yells, straight OG, brother, right? And Booker ends this with saying, it's nothing but a thing like a chicken wing on a string.
Chicken wing on a string.
Probably easier to eat more chicken wings if they were all on a string rather than just...
How?
I don't know.
How would that be easier?
If they were boneless.
Boneless wings on a string?
You eat them without getting your hands dirty. They were hanging from a string?
I guess so, but it's like way more trouble to make them.
Yeah.
If they're on a string.
Yeah.
I've never seen chicken wings on a string. I've never seen a...
A neck bone?
Yeah, what the fuck is that? Like a spinal cord?
Mine hurts right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. It's quite the promos here.
Yeah. Booker wasn't coming for anyone, though, in this promo.
No.
Unfortunately. So, I enjoyed this promo. Booker T and Sting. Just complete opposites.
Completely nonsensical.
I enjoyed Booker's promos here in 96.
Okay. Yeah, so these guys are baby faces as well as the Road Warriors.
Yeah, we have
right?
four baby faces in a brutal Chicago street fight.
Okay,
in Tupelo.
Yeah,
the Tupelo streets could not contain them. We had to bring the confines of Chicago to Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we learn about Chicago street fights? They're really long.
They suck,
and they're indecisive.
What was the finish here?
I don't know. Just started brawling at the beginning. Hawk, throughout this, took how many pile drivers where he just popped right back up, killed the pile driver?
Well, he's immune to the pile driver. That's his one thing. That's his thing.
He just stands right back up. Pile driver's a big move.
He's got a great neck bone.
I'd hate this guy if I was, hitting my pile driver and this fucker just stands right back up.
I'm sure that maybe they plan that.
Yeah.
So this was a tornado tag, right? And so they, of course, had the split screen. Which,
well, much like a tornado, this was a disaster.
Yeah, it was. I mean, when they do these matches, don't they do it with the intent to, that the focus should only be on one thing at a time?
Well, that was one of my biggest problems, is that I watched fucking 3/4 of this match on a split screen.
It was hard to follow because it's hard to gain any type of flow because... You're watching essentially two matches going on at once in separate parts of the arena.
And if I were to show you minute number one of this match and minute number goddamn 29...
It looked exactly the same.
It was the same pace. They didn't pick up any intensity. It was just the same fucking brawling. There were some chair shots in this. They just fought all over. It was like, God, was this boring.
It was an aimless plunder match with no, memorable... actions at all, except maybe for all the no-sold pile drivers.
Yeah, there was a Sting came off the top into a power slam by Animal at one point, to which Dusty, at the 22-minute mark, noted, this thing could go all night long. And there was a part of me that was worried about this, because I saw how much time was left on this show with only one match to go. Booker hit a plancha that missed and then got attacked with chair shots by Hawk. Then Sting brought out two brooms to clean house, as the announcers chuckled.
Oh, my God.
Get it?
Brooms. They could have allergies.
Then they thought Booker was leaving as he went to the back, as Animal followed him. And then in the back, Luger gets attacked by Animal. Then Luger and Stevie Ray jump Animal and tie him up with some tape to a post. Then Sting misses a splash into the barricade as Booker returns. Tosses Hawk into the steps. It's 2-on-1 here. Booker misses the Harlem Hangover. Then Stevie Ray runs down, hits Sting with a chair hits Hawk with the chair shot, allowing Booker to pin Road Warrior Hawk at 29 minutes and 33 seconds. The highlight being they cut to Animal yelling in anger at the back as he's tied up to this post. This match was so long. And somehow out of all of this, they announce Harlem Heat will now get a tag title shot. What?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It really sucked, man. The announcers just continue to overstate this match, just saying how, wow, this is unbelievable. This is the street fight of all street fights.
Oh, goddamn.
My highlight was when Luger was attacked in the back, and he got so upset, he starts saying, "He ruined my sheen! He ruined my sheen!"
This match sucked.
How do you follow that up?
Oh, with the worst match in history is how.
What can follow this grueling Chicago street fight? We have something to follow that. and we have actually three stories of a doomsday cage.
You can see the thieves, the muggers, the lowlifes in this world are all going to be in that cage, and they're going to be trying to get rid of Hulk Hogan, and you know it.
And the Macho Man Randy Savage, the Mega Powers. Rules, I understand, are very simple. Hulk Hogan, the Macho Man Randy Savage will begin at the top. It's like a gauntlet. Yep. Once they get through a cage, if they win in that particular cage, then those men would be eliminated till they work their way down to the bottom. They can pin Hulk Hogan or beat Macho Man Randy Savage at any time. But Hogan and Savage must go through every man to win their match.
Tony, you're talking about rules.
The announcers tee up the Doomsday match to follow what we just saw. Within 30 seconds of the announcers previewing it, the size of this structure went from two stories high to three to four to this five-story high Doomsday cage match.
Yeah.
This was wrestling hyperbole at its finest.
Well, it must be at least five stories when you get to the top.
They also said that this match will feature muggers and thieves involved in the match.
Okay.
Muggers.
Well, for those of you who haven't seen the match, this is basically, think of a Hell in a Cell, but with three partitions, so three levels on the inside. And this was all, it wasn't, there's no ring there. This basically was the entrance, this cage. And so all the action basically took place at the entrance ramp where this cage was erected.
Shivani explained the rules, which were so complicated. I had no clue what I was about to watch. It was Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Kevin Sullivan, Lex Luger, Ming, The Barbarian, Z Gangsta, and the Ultimate Solution, who is Jeep Swenson, this jacked up dude, taking on Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage in the Doomsday cage match. Ming was legitimately billed as "from some unknown place on the planet" by Michael Buffer.
Oh, man. This guy does real sports.
And he's introducing...
"From some unknown part of the planet, considered to be one of the most dangerous men on the face of the earth, Ming!
It reminds me of a man banned like,
from almost every country because of the
different areas. There's
of human destruction he has left in his wake.
Right
he
now,
is
boys.
The Barbarian!
I've been in cages. I would not want to be in there.
And now a nightmare from
money,
Hulk Hogan's
nothing.
Past. He's returned tonight to haunt him again. Ladies and gentlemen, Z Gangster!
The Gangster.
Z Gangster.
That's what I said.
You said that.
And also one of the most...
This guy would be like calling like Evander Holyfield introductions the following
yeah,
month.
If I was Michael Buffer, I'd say, fuck this. I'm not reading this.
Like, no money's worth this. And Shivani said that Brian Pillman was supposed to be part of this match, but maybe he's scared. And this was when Brian Pillman was doing his loose cannon gimmick to the point that he was able to work WCW out of his own contract. And Hogan saw how hot this guy was getting and wanted Brian Pillman a part of this match just so he could beat him. Oh, and Pillman God. Wouldn't go for it. So no Pillman in this match. They start on the top of the cage. This was like three layers of cages on top of one another with Hogan and Savage against Arn Anderson and Ric Flair. So they'd have to escape this section to get to the next section and fight more guys, get to another section and fight more guys.
It was really hard to see through this cage.
I couldn't imagine this live crowd who had to turn around and watch, like, on the third level of this cage.
At the entrance.
Mean, you see how hard it is to watch a fucking UFC fight if you're live? Yeah. Imagine this for sight lines. Right at the entranceway.
Yeah, this must have sucked.
Hogan tears off his shirt after a bunch of Flair chops. Bobby Heenan in... the line of all lines says, "This is better than the Super Bowl and the World Series." And Shivani says, "This is why we're number one in pay-per-view." This is just too hilarious.
Fuck. It's like they're making fun of it.
It was like tongue-in-cheek. Hogan and Savage were each put in figure fours. Flair looked to pass something down through the cage that
looked like
a chain.
It looked like a toothbrush.
They said it was a spoon. Which I think was what was being passed around in that bash video.
Sure.
Yeah, for other recreational use. Hogan and Savage grab a bunch of powder, which was also present in the bash video, and throw it into their faces. And they escape to eliminate Flair and Anderson. So Flair and Anderson are kind of taken out of the match right at the beginning.
So what does that mean? Like, if you escape the match, then you're out of the match?
That's how the Doomsday will come down to, escaping danger.
But they kept fighting afterwards. In fact, they went back into the cage.
They were temporarily eliminated. temporarily. So then the second tier featured Kevin Sullivan, Ming, Luger, and the Barbarian, who was somehow magically in this as well. Barbarian and Ming get locked up in this, like, side cage. Heenan is asking how you can win this match, and Schiavone and Dusty just didn't have any answer. So Sullivan and Hogan then fight out onto this ledge, where Hogan is literally trying to throw Kevin Sullivan off of a scaffold. Hogan, Savage, Luger, and Sullivan then fight to the floor, and they start going to the ring. They're out of the Doomsday cage. What's the significance of this cage? It can't even contain them. They go to the ring. A big boot is hit to Sullivan, who they then fight back into the cage. Hogan was in the ring briefly with Luger, and Savage brings this long board to the ringside area. It literally becomes just the Chicago street fight continued, of what we just had seen a half hour of. Then the Ultimate Solution and the Gangster, who were not present for the beginning of this match, they walk down to the ring, and it leads to a lot of posing in the ring. The Ultimate Solution was like another level of immobile that I've never seen in a wrestling match before. Like, this guy could do nothing. The Gangster was just about the same. If you thought this guy was terrible in 1989, imagine 7 years on top of this guy. Hogan built up to a back rake. Then a bear hug spot. Hogan then got attacked by Anderson and Flair, who returned. And then who should run out? The Booty Man, who's got the equalizers in the form of multiple steel frying pans that they attack the heels with, including shots to the head. Then...
This is uncensored.
It's uncensored, meaning not only do we have steel frying pans, but Lex Luger has a glove! A loaded glove. And he goes to punch Savage, who ducks... And Luger goes to hit Flair, stops, but then hits Flair. I didn't know if this was a mistake or on purpose, but he stopped and then hit him anyway. Hogan and Savage then go to exit, but Savage forgets that he has to pin someone, so he runs back to pin Flair at 25 minutes and 1 second. And Heenan calls Hulkamania an infectious disease. He wants to start a war with Hogan the next night on Nitro, storms off, and we just sign off with the credit roll with the first names of this first-class production of Uncensored 1996. Shit.
So who do we blame for this?
Oh, I don't know, but I give this show a 0 out of 10. I can't even give it a 1. I hated this show.
This was a disaster of a match. Just everything was so uncoordinated. Like the last match, this was hard to keep track of because you had multiple things going on at the same time. Gimmick was poorly used, if at all. Like, how much do you think they spent on this stupid cage? It really was just ended up being like a jungle gym for these guys to hit each other with brooms and frying pans and gloves with.
Oh, this was just so long. Like, look at this. Main event went 25 minutes. Chicago Street Fight, 29 and a half minutes. We had the Booty Man and DDP go 16. Like, this was insane. Like, who laid this show out?
Well, I mean, at the time, I don't think these times were so ridiculous.
Dude, five matches. Five matches went longer than 15 minutes.
I'd rather that than, you know, a bunch of short, meaningless matches.
Well, these were just too long for their own good.
But definitely the last two matches at half an hour each, they were nowhere near good enough to maintain even half that length of time. Those two matches, I thought, were complete garbage.
So there you go. What do you give this show?
I thought the first two matches were quite good. I give it maybe a 3. Out of 10?
I'm still maintaining a 0. So there you go. That was Uncensored 1996. It was just a classic in WCW history. Let's see what you guys had to say. We head on over now to the Law message board for Uncensored 96 feedback, if you could sit through this one. We'll start off with Jay Hunter. Uncensored was really slow, but I sat through worse. I'm so used to WWF's slick presentation and timing that WCW's events seem like a wrestling show that just happened to be televised. Stuff like Jimmy Hart talking into camera, and they cut to another camera and mute his audio, only to put it back 5 seconds later. Mixed gender matches are an oddity. What would happen if Robert Fuller groped Medusa? Would that be just mind games or stop the match? That's sexual assault. It's surprising we haven't seen Alundra Blaze back in WWE as they show footage of her dropping the women's title in the bin anytime clips are shown. I enjoy seeing the ridiculously expensive gimmick matches WCW came up with that WWE won't touch. They love their multiple rings, cages, monster trucks, and how about that horrendous King of the Road match? For the main event, I don't appreciate the heel faction being named after Hulkamania. What an ego trip. Their identity is based on Hogan. That's like if Review Away was called the Not Jimmy Corderas Show. Wire flooring was a poor choice. The wrestlers look awkward tiptoeing about. They also have to be careful to bump on the chain links and not those metal bars, which would have ended their career. Split cam matches are a horrible idea, breaking the focus and flow of the match from the apathy of the crowd. They had no clue what was happening. The commentators were asking each other as well, so it was all a big dog's dinner. One last thing. Did the Punisher, John Pollock, appreciate the Booty Man's finisher, the high knee? Yes, very clever.
Up next, we go to Jay Hunter. Uncensored was really slow, but I've sat through worse.
That's the one I just read.
Oh, oops.
Waiting, paying attention.
We go to Dave Power, who says, holy crap, that Doomsday main event was god-awful. It's like some bizarre video game, only I don't have a controller. The wrestlers jumping all over different levels, commentators who don't know what's going on, and a crowd that doesn't seem to know if the match has even started. This was such a short chore to get through. Poor way. The rest of the pay-per-view is all right. The opener was pretty damn good. Finlay and Regal had a decent old-school style match. The Robert Parker interview is different. I'm going to take that girl and rub her face in it real good. Hell, even the match featuring pitting DDP's fluffy hair versus the Booty Man's headband isn't terrible. But my god, that main event is some crock of shit. I struggle to think of a worse main event. 5 dangos out of 10.
Tanise writes, I enjoyed the OK Guerrero-Conan match. Love Finlay and Regal's stiff fest. But after that, this show went downhill. The main event was awful, and people can see why this got worst match of the year. I know Hogan made money for the company at the time, but I can only imagine what was going through the minds of longtime NWA WCW fans. They went from seeing classics involving Flair, Sting, the Steiner, Steamboat, and others to a doomsday cage match. You wanted me to suffer, Way. You got your wish, good sir. Can't wait for the review. Take care.
Danny from Calgary, what else can I say about the Doomsday Cage match that hasn't been said? Savage and Egomaniac Hogan versus pretty much the entire WCW heel roster in a triple-decker cage, and Ric Flair still does the job. Talk about a Vince Russo wet dream. I do remember renting this on VHS when it came out, yet the main event was so bad and so overbooked that I don't remember a single other thing about this show. Therefore, I give this horrendous show the Freddy Got Fingered approved -1 out of 10. If you're thinking of a song to close out this week's episode, how about Duke the Dumpster Drosy's entrance music? Because Uncensored 96 is a stinky pile of garbage.
Let's go to Keith from Ireland. Hey guys, when you mentioned that you were going to be reviewing this pay-per-view, I feared the worst. I had never watched it, but I had heard so many negative reviews about the main event. I thought the whole card was going to stink. Imagine my surprise when it turned out to be one of the best pay-per-views I'd seen in a long time. Almost every match, with the exception of the Giant versus Loch Ness, had me glued to the badly blurred Daily Motion screen, and the crowd seemed pretty hot for the majority of them. I enjoyed the Belfast Bruiser Steven Regal match immensely. I'm sure there were plenty of potatoes thrown in that match. The only downside to the matches was that I felt they all ran a few minutes too long, and maybe you could have squeezed another match in there using that combined time. The main event was terrible, but like a car crash, it's hard to take your eyes off of it. I'm probably the only person here who liked the overall show, but I guess there's no accounting for taste. 7 out of 10. I'm sorry, Keith. You're on an island, I think.
Trent from Texas. I could shit on the triple cage match, but there is no need to beat a dead horse at this point, so I will comment on my favorite hidden gem on this show. This happened when a very somber-looking Tony Schiavone looked at the camera and said with a straight face that Diamond Dallas Page will try to get his self-respect back when he takes on the Booty Man. I think this was the Booty Man's debut on Review Away, and feel this is the right time to address a very important injustice that has been on my mind for years. One of the great crimes in wrestling history is the lack of acknowledgement that Billy Gunn completely ripped off this man's entire gimmick and made millions of dollars off of it, while Beefcake eventually had to work in a toll booth. How does this go unnoticed, and why hasn't Beefcake ever brought this up? Not only was his finisher's name a lame pun, the high knee, about butts, but he even had a horrible theme song that constantly references his ass, for God's sake. Next time Beefcake allows you at least 2 minutes of interview time, you need to address this to him.
How great would it have been if we could sit Brutus down and he could watch Naomi's rear view?
Rear view.
Yeah. Damn it. Great idea. You know what's amazing? Now, WrestleCon, I wish we knew we were reviewing this ahead of time because we interviewed Jimmy Hart, Kevin Sullivan,
yeah,
and the Booty Man.
That's right. Oh, DDP was there.
Oh yeah, DDP was there. We could have done a whole investigation on Uncensored 96.
Could have.
Yeah, we gotta block these out ahead of time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our next bit of feedback from Dennis. What's up, guys? Haven't posted in about a year, but I'm back. Great work during WrestleMania week. Just awesome. Anyway, on to the topic at hand. Uncensored 96. Aside from the first two matches, the show sucked. One of the worst main events ever and some of the worst gimmicks ever throughout the show. I mean, the Booty Man? The Shark? What was Eric Bischoff on in 96? And who needed to see the Road Warriors in a 25-minute match? The first two matches were excellent. The Conan Eddie match was great and really showcased how good both were in their primes. The Finlay Regal match was excellent as well and one of the best brawls I've ever seen. A great match between the two, and Finlay's haircut was something else. Heenan's commentary was funny during those two matches as well. Overall, a bad show with two good matches. Dear God, what an awful main event. Worst match of the decade candidate. 3 out of 10, solely for the first two matches. Anyway, keep up the great work, and thanks for all the great content. Sorry about any grammar or spelling mistakes as I typed this on a mobile device. Thanks, guys.
Finally, from Steve Casson, who says, here's some positive feedback on the show. I had this on tape and rewatched the hell out of it, mainly because of two things. One is the cartoon nature of the alliance to end Hulkamania versus the Mega Powers reunited. Luger entering with the loaded glove, the Doomsday Cage, using frying pans and to knock them the F out. It's just hilarious. Just remember, everyone, that in this time period when it was the turn from going away of the cartoon nature into what they would have a year later with the NWO. However, the main reason I rewatched this show is one of my favorite Sting matches, Sting and Booker T versus the Road Warriors in a Chicago street fight. This is legitimately a good match. Two, I believe the setup was that Luger was just too chicken shit to face the Road Warriors and dipped on Sting, thus having to turn to Harlem Heat, particularly Booker T. Watching this match, for me, it really showcased how much of a great performer Booker T is. It's a starting off point where here you have a guy being an equal to Sting, Hawk, and Animal. Also, one of the main reasons why I shall always be a Sting mark is because you can put Sting in with matches and other performers like these. It wasn't a rarity to see Sting wrestle or align with guys ranging from Eddie, Booker, Hogan, Luger, Flair, etc., meaning that Sting can be put anywhere in any match whereas it was not customary to put someone on a main event talent of a main event talent like Hogan with somebody like Ray. There is no pecking order when it came to Sting, if that makes any sense.
Well, there you go. Thank you, everyone, for enduring that event. It was one of the harder ones for me to get through, but we made it. We made it through another week of reviewing something that was questionable on the surface. But there we go. Uncensored 96, an event that neither of us will ever watch again in our entire lives. But we are going to watch something next week. So, Mr. Ting, I selected this garbage. So next week, you get to get us back on track.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you talk about something?
Well, as Wei prepares for his pick, which he knew for a week would be coming his way, I will let everybody know now that we have a lot of stuff up on the site that you can check out from this past week, including a lot of video interviews that Wei and I were mentioned that we've shot down while we were at WrestleCon. There's interviews with superstar Billy Graham, which, of course, was conducted prior to him coming down with pneumonia. So we want to send out our best wishes to superstar Billy Graham, who was admitted into a hospital just a couple of days ago. That's up there, which you can listen to. The Blue Meanie interview, which was one of my favorite interviews of the whole weekend. Really great stuff. And he's chatting about the Barbed Wire City documentary, which will be screened this coming Saturday night at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia. And I can tell you guys, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be reviewing that documentary with the director joining us, John Pilipavich. He will be on the program on a future edition of Review Away. So that's some stuff you can catch along with The Law from Sunday, Review of Raw on Monday night, and of course, the MMA report every single Thursday at fightnetwork.com and iTunes if you subscribe. Lots of great stuff.
All right. Well, you know, we've been holding off on this one, but I guess it's appropriate this week since we did see the return of Z-Gangster versus Hulk Hogan. Let's review the 1989 classic No Holds Barred.
Oh, dear. Well, this should be fun.
Yeah.
No Holds Barred. Didn't we watch this, but we did this for Brent's podcast,
yeah,
right?
Or no, we did a commentary.
We did commentary for
Brent's podcast. Well, or you did commentary and I sat there.
Oh, yeah, right. So this will be a second viewing for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, people have asked for long enough, so yeah, I guess you only live once. So let's watch No Holds Barred, and we will chat about that next week. I'm extremely excited. So that'll be coming up next week, the WWF's entry into major motion pictures. This was the start of a very disturbing trend that continues to this day. So next week, Hulk Hogan and Zeus team up for the classic No Holds Barred film. And we will let all of you post your feedback as well as you endure this movie with us. So that's coming up next week. As we get on out of here, you can always go to liveaudiowrestling.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Law Radio, at Way0937. And I guess as we go on out of here, Way, let's find a song that, you know, let's go out with the Booty Man's theme that someone posted here on the message board, so we can listen to the Booty Man's theme, the guy that really paved the way for the great Billy Gunn. And, you know, where exactly does Billy Gunn owe his success to? And Brutus Beefcake, you know, maybe, you know, finding his crack in the world of the industry.
Wow.
So,
yes,
here we go. The Booty Man's theme takes us out for another edition of Review Away.
A rear view of Way.
Oh. Very nice, very funny.
Come on, get some. Yeah. Come on, get some. Yeah.
Yeah.